Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of Creative Inclinations, a one-on-one, conversation-based podcast about art, music, culture, entertainment, and more with me, David Steele. And today, we have our next guest on the show, Jackson Pierce. Is that how you... Your name, right?
Yeah.
Yes, Jackson Pierce, thank you for coming. How are you today?
I'm great.
You have a band?
No.
Confined to a Singular Form is that the group? Yeah, because I wasn't sure if it was... for whatever reason, I thought it was just the two of you. And then, you had listed it as a four-piece band. So what's... Can you tell us about the band? What would you describe the genre? I listened to this stuff. That's great. I thought it was all very well done production-wise, but I'll ask you about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
Genre-wise,
I mean, so I'll talk about kind of more the structure of the band real quick.
Yeah. I was curious.
Because in a sense, it is a five-piece.
Okay.
I have to be careful about how I talk about this part because I don't want to come off any kind of way.
Yeah.
Me and Corbin do the predominant... we write most
songwriting,
of the stuff.
Right.
And so
okay.
We were looking to record our album, and we got some guys, and they helped write some of it, and we've been performing with them.
Mm-hmm.
But we've kind of come to a decision that for now, we're going to kind of... We've got a couple shows coming up, but it's just going to be me and Corbin.
Okay, so it is kind of... that. But yeah, like I said, it makes sense, I think. It's like, even if you have a bigger group, it's like, they're more of like the live edition.
and I don't want to discount what they've done, I mean, because they've done so much, but there are just certain band things that are going on right now. Nothing bad, but just we're just deciding for now it's just going to be that.
And
me and Corbin are excited to be writing, and we're going to try to take a step back from focusing on performing
live.
But genre wise I mean, he's a cellist, and so we love orchestral music. We love ambient music, and we love like indie folk kind of stuff, so blending all of that together, so we just call it indie folk rock. We don't know what else to call it.
That's definitely the vibe. I mean, like I said, I listened to the stuff. I thought it was very good. Like, I like more of when it is the rock, but not as much as the ambient. I like the ambient stuff. I think that's great. But it's like, to me personally, it's like, I like the ambient music that I listen to. I like a lot of hip hop. Lo-fi hip hop.
Yeah, so those kind of ambient.
But it's like the same purpose. I could listen to your stuff for that in those cases, right? But it's like I just don't listen to a ton of ambient stuff, I guess, in general.
Right.
So that's kind of like my only, I would say, like the stuff. Because like I said, when it gets into like the more singing and guitar stuff, I love. I think that stuff was my preferred side of it. But anyways, I like all of it because there was two albums. The second one was all kind of ambient, which was very impressive,
and that was completely done by Corbin. So
that's his. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I have some production credits on that, but all of the arrangements, all of the recording was 100% him. And so that was supposed to be a solo project of his. And then we really liked the idea of releasing that alongside the second album because the tones of it kind of coincided.
Because it was similar.
And he just did such an excellent job, and I loved that album so much that I was like, can I be a part of
this
in some way?
Together the same. Awesome. Yeah, because like I said, that was very interesting because I didn't really know what to expect going into it. I heard some of your stuff, or I'd seen some like live videos on your social media at one point. I was like, this is good. I knew I liked it, but so how long have you guys been doing the project, you and Corbin, or like...
Yeah,
so... How did you guys meet, even?
So me and Corbin have known each other since elementary school.
Oh, wow.
We went to... Awesome. Yeah. He lived around the corner from our parents' house.
Okay.
And so when we were in elementary school, we didn't know each other as well, but we were friends, and we'd occasionally hang out. And then in middle school, we would see each other, and we just didn't talk that much.
But you knew who each other were or whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I would say that I probably would have said we were friends. But we both kind of hung around different crowds. And then when I got into eighth grade, I got my first guitar for Christmas.
Yeah.
I started getting interested in doing music, and I got a guitar, and I called Corbin because I knew he played drums.
Okay.
And at the time, he would probably find this embarrassing, but he knew how to play every single My Chemical Romance song.
Okay.
But he'd tell me, It wasn't by choice. Mm-hmm. He had a friend he was doing music with that really wanted to learn all that because he wanted to play all of them.
Yeah.
And they never played it. Yeah. So he just learned all those drum parts. So I was like, okay, so this guy's a decent drummer. And mm-hmm. And so we start making music together, and we struggled to write. It mm-hmm. was so hard to write back then because I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. I had zero formal music training.
Like 13, 14. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, balancing all the weird middle school stuff, girlfriends and all that. And now at the same time, I'm like, I want to write music. Like
and then where do you start with that? If you've never, you know, because my question or I thought of was like, did you have any parents or anyone in your family that played music?
Yeah. Okay. So my parents didn't, but my parents have always loved music.
Yeah,
loved
so it was
music.
Always around.
Yeah, and my sister is a singer, and she's an amazing singer. Mm-hmm. And then both my grandpas were drummers, and my grandma was a pianist.
Oh, wow.
And so there's definitely a lot of musical history, aspects, but there's a lot of love for music all mm-hmm. in my family. And so I don't think my parents like ever wanted to push me into being a musician, but they could tell I really loved music. Mm. And so they were going to kind of dip my toes in that whenever they thought it was appropriate. And, so, you know, I got a piano and, I loved that, but I didn't touch it for a long time mm-hmm. until I started while I was playing guitar, kind of like touching that and no formal training. And so me and Corbin, we couldn't write, and we realized even now we just write better alone. And so we'll both write songs and then come together and talk about it. So, but this iteration of the band, Confined to a Singular Form, started around 2020, 2021, early 2021.
Yeah.
And because we were initially a group called The Skins, which is kind of a silly name. And that was supposed to be an ambient mixed with pop and all that kind of stuff project.
Yeah.
And it was fun, but you know, we just changed, did a sharp turn, and became what we are now.
Yeah.
And so,
that's awesome.
Sorry for that long winded answer.
I love it. That's exactly what I was, you know, that's kind of what I like to get into at this show, is just a little bit more of like a backstory, particularly like, because did you grow up in Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Both of us did.
Yeah.
We both, we went to the elementary school, Will Rogers. It's like around the corner from us. It's over on, 122nd and something. I'm bad with the roads. A council?
Yeah.
A council and 122nd.
Okay.
Anyways.
Almost like Edmond area, kind of, or north.
It's north, northeast.
Yeah.
Northwest. Mm-hmm. Northwest. Anyways. But so so I was born in California.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And then we moved to Oklahoma, then moved to Fargo, and then moved back to the same house in Oklahoma. But I was back here by the time I was like 3 or 4.
Yeah, so you don't really remember. That's like, that's a wild, Los Angeles, or sunny California.
Yeah.
Up to
Fargo.
Freezing cold. And then you land in the middle. Which is, you know, I like Oklahoma. I don't like the cold, though. I just, my sister lives in Denver. I like Denver. It's a cool town.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. Cause like, it's not somewhere I think I could live full time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to go to Los Angeles, though, real bad.
Never been. Yeah.
It's like, I visited, you know, I've been there quite a bit just, you know, for vacation or whatever. But it's just the best weather.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere in California, I feel like. But anyways, Oklahoma's great, though. It's a good, it's a very affordable, at least, you know. And the weather is, like I said, I always say this, like, people complain about the weather here, but I think it's, like, it's mostly nice. You know what I mean? Most days are decent, at least.
And I like I like the fluctuating weather. Sometimes it sucks.
Right.
But, like, I appreciate that we can it's always something different, you know? Yeah.
It does have an effect. But anyways, we don't talk about that.
Not for our weather forecast.
Yeah, right. And then, so you guys got together with the rest of the group. Was that kind of a more recent decision, or how long had you guys been a full band and playing? Because I know you guys played quite a bit last year.
That happened end of 2022.
So
we picked up a drummer and a bassist.
Just get the full band so you could start playing live.
And we went to school with all of the other members.
Right.
It was cool. We got to. Yeah, and so the drummer and the keyboardist, they're both brothers, and they're both really, really good guys. And we had a bassist at the time, and that didn't work out, but he was a really nice guy as well. We've been around a lot of positive energy, and Dante from Pineapple Lows, we were talking about, he's a Yeah, just such a great guy.
He played with you for a little bit, right?
Yeah. And that's how we met.
Yeah, he was looking
to kind of mess with another group, right. and he's just such a great guy. Mm-hmm. I really love Dante.
Yeah, definitely good friend of mine too. That's like, yeah, definitely one of the reasons why I think you're here, because you had mentioned that. Because he's a huge supporter of mine in most things I do, but particularly the podcast. He's always like sharing my posts and stuff like that, which is not a lot of people do.
even
friends. It's like I always appreciate that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we talked about like kind of the sound. Yeah, what's been like? What are your kind of influences like growing up, and like particularly? I wanted to ask about like the influences for this project, but also just your own personal influences. And like, I guess one question maybe along those lines is like, were there any like early musical influences that maybe made you want to start playing music when you were young?
When I was really little,
yeah.
My parents listened to a whole bunch of stuff, mm-hmm. you know, Nirvana and stuff like that. So I would say Nirvana is a really big influence of mine mm-hmm. from when I was really little, but you wouldn't hear that in our music. It's more kind of, And, but I mean, Kurt Cobain, the whole band is just such an interesting story and mm-hmm. interesting people. And then, I lost what I thought. But when I was little, my parents made us watch like Baby Einstein, not Little Einstein, not the one with the ship, but Baby Einstein, and that's when I started hearing classical music and hearing all the different instruments. And so, I mean, I guess Baby Einstein is why I'm here today.
That's an interesting thing, because like you mentioned that you like, you know, that classical like and that ambient, that kind of orchestral sound.
Yeah.
So was that kind of, were you into a lot of that when you were younger?
Yeah, so I honestly, like, I loved listening to it, but mm-hmm. I always kind of removed it from what I, you know. And so when I was in middle school, I listened to the 1975 a lot. I'm not mm-hmm. sure if you heard of them.
I think I have, but I'm not too familiar.
They're a UK, like, pop.
Okay.
But they do a whole bunch of different stuff. And mm-hmm. they were blending orchestral stuff in. And mm-hmm. I used to be like, yeah, that's cool, but like... You know, like, I want to make, like, pop music,
right.
or I want to make, like, this and this and this.
Or,
and
like, then I whatever found, is cool, right?
Yeah,
like.
Yeah. And so when I was younger, I was influenced by their pop sound. I really uh-huh. want to make, like, pop music like them. And so the 1975 for sure, but I don't know. It always kind of fluctuated. So mm-hmm. My parents loved songs, and so we would listen to... Not necessarily entire artists, but songs
like
and
certain
stuff.
Certain songs that you knew every word to.
Exactly. I remember that one of the first ones I fell in love with was somebody that I used to know.
Yeah.
My mom showed me that song, and I kept asking her to play it in the car so much that she got tired of the song. She's like, I don't want to listen to the song anymore.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a joke that I ruined that song for. Not really, but, you know. And
That song, when that came out, it was all over the place anyways.
Yeah.
Like, it was everywhere you turned, you heard that song. And it's an amazing song. I love that song.
I don't know. There's just something about it. There's a magic in it.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And so, anyways. But now I would say I love Brian Eno.
Okay.
He's an ambient artist mm-hmm. who's just remarkable. And, there are some dicey ones that people don't really like as much anymore, and I don't blame them. But Sun Kil Moon, the sound of that band, and the guitars and the vocals and the storytelling, they're like a classical kind of folk rock kind of band, and I just think the songwriting is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so ambient, and that's where I got the folk from.
Right.
And then you know, I've Nine Inch Nails was a huge influence for me as well, but mostly in the production side of things.
Trent Reznor is right? Like he's movies and shit. Like he's
the coolest guy ever.
Legit composer and stuff. That's awesome.
It's insane. And he came from such a heavy background of music, but there were always these undertones of a bigger story to it. It wasn't so like surface level.
I feel like it's like one of those things where it's like whenever somebody puts a lot of thought and care into something, it's like it shows, you know. It's like you can see the attention to detail.
It's palpable
in the things that he does. It's like with movies, I'm a huge like just movie nerd, or as far as like I was like an aspiring filmmaker, I guess, if I had more time. So I like studying it. I like learning about it. But yeah, it's like a lot of that stuff is just so much a detail in the backgrounds of scenes and everything that makes something feel alive.
Yeah.
Because it's like somebody's thinking about every little thing that's behind an actor in a scene or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it could be similar with music, especially when it goes into production, which, that's something I guess we can kind of jump to, because I think, because I wanted to ask, was it Corbin? Did you guys produce the music together? You recorded it and do everything like that?
Yeah, so we recorded yourselves. It from our bedrooms.
Yeah.
And then
you record separately. And then,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, but there were a lot of times when we'd have recording sessions together, and my dad let us use his photo studio for that. And so after hours, it was, more for schools.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we would go in and we'd spend hours and hours and hours recording in there. And half the time, nothing came out of it. Nothing.
Oh, really?
It was a complete waste of time. Mm. 12 hours wasted.
Wow.
But we learned from the experiences.
Yeah. So you kind of had to go in there just to learn how to do it.
Exactly.
Pretty much, yeah.
And,
which is great to have that opportunity to... and space to do it.
Yeah, instead of like in your house, you have to worry about dogs clacking their feet on the floor. And,
that used to be a problem. I used to have a dog for most of my time here.
Yeah.
And it was, it was manageable, but I would get some noises sometimes, or like barks and stuff in the background.
And it's very seldom that it would even pop out of the recordings, but it's just a little irritating.
It's like certain things you want to have control over the sound, particularly if you as much control over the sound as you can. So
And so we did the recording, and then we also did the production and the mixing and the mastering.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because if it sounds great. I thought it was like very well done. It sounds very, very high quality.
I appreciate that. Yeah. We put a lot of effort into it, because that album started being written in 2021, and we got it put out in 2024, and we finished it a week before it came out. We were like crunching it in.
Yeah, getting stuff done. Because it's a long album. That was something that I noticed about a lot of your songs. Right? I was listening to them, and I'm like, it's still going. It's like 10 minutes, which is
cool.
There
are two over 10-minute songs on it.
Like I said, it was just a lot that I kind of, if I had known more of what it was going into it, I would have probably liked it. I need to re-listen to it, I think. And like I said, I will like use it for background music. I'll think of that, and it's like, oh, this is the perfect time to put this on. And just have that ambient sound when I need it. Because occasionally it is good to just... if you're like trying to focus on whatever, writing something or working on something, that I kind of need that some noise, but not necessarily something that's going to distract me.
Right. And because it's so easy to just throw on YouTube and just like listen to that in the background. And so I don't necessarily think of music first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so that's awesome. Are you guys working on a new, you said you were writing. Are you guys getting ready to do the next project, the next recording project?
So we're throwing around some ideas, but I mean, whatever we do won't be out for a while.
Right.
Because
it's in the very early stages.
It's in the very early, and we're kind of taking a break right now.
Right.
I still write a lot.
Yeah.
And there's an album we've been working on that's just kind of put together demos, and we don't know when it's gonna come out, but it's still worked on occasionally.
That's cool, though. I mean,
trying to like keep that going, keep the energy going.
And you don't want to like burn out, but like I said, you just finished. Well, when did that one come out exactly?
2024.
Last year, right? So when
March 25th.
Okay, so that was like almost a year ago.
Yeah.
That's good. A couple of the songs on the album, I just wanted to point out a couple of the ones that stood out to me. I really like Bedlam and Sea a lot.
Did it hurt? You started fevering. It didn't see what's after you. And I was
like I said, that was that's when I was like, oh, yeah, you're a piano player. Because I remembered learning that before, but I was like, that's really cool. Because you don't see that often in, like, especially like a rock band, or especially like a local one that, like, I don't really know very many piano players locally for sure. So I really like that song because it's like, and that was you singing, right?
Yeah.
Or your singer and playing. And I really like that song. And then Everyday Cancer was the other one. The 10-minute ones. It's like it's almost like two songs put together, right? It's I like
it starts
that.
So it starts on that kind of, and then it, and then I the bulk of the song, that main part, dun, 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 and then that whole part was written first, and it took me, that was written beginning of 2022, mm-hmm. and we figured it out end of 2023.
Yeah,
the and whole... it took us so long, just that song, and so right. it might have actually been 2021 when I wrote that, actually, but we, I was always, because when I write songs, like, I'll write the main part of it, mm-hmm. and then it'll sit there and kind of stew, and then I'll throw some lyrics on it. I hate that. Throw some more lyrics on it. That was fine, but the other one was better.
Yeah, and, it's hard to figure out what exactly it needs. Sometimes.
So it took me so long. And we started kind of tossing around the idea because the whole album's kind of supposed to flow together. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily like track after track just flows it, but it's just like the tone of it.
Yeah.
And so right before that song is a 12-minute ambient mm-hmm. song. And trying to figure, going straight from that to Dune, we just wanted there to be some space in
between. Right, makes sense. Because I was listening to the album and then it flowed into that one, which I like. Because I liked whenever... It's like you listen to the album, if you do listen to it all the way through, it's like you're not going to be really even tell where they start and stop sometimes.
Yeah.
It just kind of does flow very nicely. But, yeah, that was one of the ones that I think it was that 12 minutes into, like, another 5 minutes. And then, that's whenever it's the drums come in and the more instruments, it's like, oh, shit, this is... It's popping off now.
That tends to be the one that when we're performing, that people really like that one. Because
like
it's
said,
just like
it's,
punchy. And yeah.
I think those two are probably, in my opinion, probably the poppiest or the most accessible as far as like...
100%.
Which, those
stood out
to me. Because
then that fades into fall.
Right.
Remember her body and fall. My body was it perfect, but the more I looked inside myself,
which there's like an ambience and that fades into fall, which is the most, which is the poppiest in tone, but then it falls into like a slow piano, and so anyways.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But yeah, it's you can tell. I think the album was 3 years of work, right? So it's like, and you can tell how many sections. There's like just sections that are very intricately like. Placed, I think, and so obviously I think that's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
So it's very impressive, I think, the whole album. And then floral arrangements. And did that come out at the same time, you said? Or
yeah, so that came out April 15th. So
okay,
it came
right
out
after,
20 days after. Mm-hmm. And so that was already... That might have already been finished.
Yeah.
That was... Corbin was working on an album. It was a long title, but it started with floral arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
That held us or something. And
yeah.
It was a digital... It was more synthy ambient album. Mm-hmm. So he was using a lot of synths and MIDI and stuff to create these like really huge soundscapes. And I thought it was absolutely beautiful,
mm-hmm.
but he wasn't sure about it. And the more he made it, the less he really cared about it. And so the last song on A Lifetime of Pieces is called Together. That was supposed to be on the original floral arrangements. And I love that song so much. I was like, let's throw it on the end. And he's like, okay. And so that's completely him.
That's
cool. But he then started switching it, started doing these orchestral versions of those digital tracks.
Okay.
And then he started just making orchestral ambient music, and he just started forming this album that was just absolutely beautiful.
The whole thing.
Yeah, I helped with the production side of it, and I helped make some of the titles. But at the end of the day, he chose the titles, and the photo on the cover is him, and it's just, he just did such, me and him are really big about doing stuff and really like being involved.
Mm-hmm.
And so A Lifetime of Pieces was very much both of our albums. Three of the songs were completely done by him, and I just added little tiny things.
Mm-hmm.
And then none of the songs were completely done by me. The rest of them were like either mainly written by me, and then he comes in with little things, or it was written by both of us. So we really balanced it.
And do you guys record? You guys recorded everything, or one of the other recorded like all the instruments on it and everything like that? Or did you guys bring anybody else, like the drummer or bass player?
Oh, yeah. So we on the first half of the album, me and Corbin play everything but the drum part in a song called Stay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half, our pianist and our drummer comes in on Everyday Cancer and Fall.
Okay.
And then the rest after that is me and Corbin.
Okay.
So,
you had a few, not a lot, but a few little extra people help recording, right?
Yeah.
Playing.
And what they did was so massive in it, because those two songs are the most upbeat and fullest. And so, and then, like, it gets into some slow stuff that's either just acoustic or acoustic and a small little drum part that I just decided to just record it. And just, you know, and they might have been old recordings that I threw in there just because it was easier and I maybe liked the sound of it. And so,
yeah, I think a topic I thought of was like, working with other people. I mean, one of my favorite things about playing with in bands is that, like, you get to get in a room with, like, three or four other people or whatever, you know, a group of you, then each of you have, like, different ideas of what music is, what's important about, you know, or your influences or whatever. But then you get together and you create something that's very unique.
Yeah.
Was that, like, something, I mean, you mentioned, like, those players were, did they add their, you know, adding their touch? You think that really helped?
Yeah. And so, like, the bass lines of the songs were written, but when it's played by somebody, because they were both trained.
Just kind of, and you just had a bass line written for it, and then you kind of let them take it.
Yes. Yeah. And so, I played the bass on the album, and that was important to me. I loved bass.
Yeah.
And so, watching him, our drummer, kind of, because, like, Everyday Cancer was a much simpler drum part, and he took it, and he just made it full and rich, and and it let me kind of feel like I could, when I recorded the bass, kind of feel like I could go a little more deeper in and really try some different stuff. And
as a bass player, that's my huge, biggest thing. It's like, I love playing with a drummer that's very creative and very not so, like, I can play with a drum machine just fine, you know what I mean? But, like, that doesn't help me. Sometimes those... having a really good creative drummer can, like, push you in different ways as a bass player, or even a guitar player, and just, like, you're kind of changing what you're doing based on what they're doing and stuff like that. So I think it's, I love that about
the chemistry.
The specifically with bass and drums.
Because
it's like, most of the time I don't steal the rhythm from, you know, but I don't really come up with many rhythms. It's usually based on the drum rhythm in some way. So it's like,
I was playing music with somebody yesterday, and they were like, they were playing guitar and I was playing bass, and we were both a little self-conscious because he's a remarkable player and he was looking at me like that, but, like, I feel like I'm, like, not that good. He feels like he's not that good. So anyways, so he's like, hey, can you start on the bass? I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what to play.
Yeah.
And so then
like
he was
need,
like,
Yeah,
I needed something else.
That definitely happens sometimes, I think. Yeah, because, I don't know, I'm lucky to, most of the musicians I've been playing with lately are just very driven. They know what they're doing. You know what I mean? They, like Dante and Josh, I don't know if you know Josh Bartruck, he's kind of, me and him and Dante played in a band called Stolen Cable a few years ago.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
That was our group before Josh, about almost 2 years ago. Went to Japan for a year to teach English.
Wow.
And now he's back.
My brother's going to Japan for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like I said, Josh is a great guy. He speaks Japanese pretty well. I think well. He would say not well, but,
but just it's because, definitely well.
I mean, it's, you know, it's a hard language, too, so obviously. But, yeah, he loves it. But anyways, so the three of us played together for about a couple years. And but those guys are just so, like I said, they just come in and have songs mostly done or halfway done. So it's like so easy for me as a bass player. It's like, okay, I can come up with something if I have a song done. You know, that's very easy to throw a bass, figure out a bass line. And, but it's like you're saying, if I had to come up with something from scratch, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Where do I start? You know, it's so
bass
weird.
Is hard because you're driving the progression a lot of the time, but you're not necessarily making like the the chords and the harmonies and stuff. And that's where the song, I think, really starts for me. And so, anyways.
Yeah. So, yeah. What is your kind of process? Do you like, because do you consider yourself a songwriter? Like, you said you write your own stuff, right? So, like, do you, like, come up with something on guitar and then add vocals? Or what do you like to start with?
When I first was starting, I would come up with a loop, mm-hmm. and then I'd kind of start thinking over it,
kind of feel it out.
Yeah. Well, first started on this album. I mean, sorry. I'd kind of feel it out, and then kind of write lyrics for it. So I'd sit there with a loop of piano and then drums, then bass mm-hmm. for 2 hours. I'd just sit there in a room, you know.
Just writing thinking,
and thinking, and a lot of those songs never even made it on the album, but because it didn't work thematically, mm-hmm. or I didn't like the sound of it as much, and so. But now, a lot of the time, I'm just like, I love alternate tunings, and so I've been playing mm-hmm. guitar a lot, and so I'll just mess around with an alternate tuning, come up over a week mm-hmm. with like three different parts, mm-hmm. and then like kind of put them together and be like, oh, that's kind of cool, and then start kind of making vocals. And I really like playing classical guitar,
mm-hmm.
and so
that's cool.
That's how I start a lot of the time with songs now.
Yeah,
and so
just playing around with something.
Yeah,
that's like I imagine like with the alternate tunings, it's like it can be like inspiring. Just like I know, like I don't play guitar at all, like regular six string guitar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So like I really don't know. I don't know how to play chords. I know what a chord is. I can explain a chord and how to find and show you some stuff on bass on how I play with chords, but it's like I don't know how to play a G or an A on a guitar. It's like something I should have learned at some point.
No, but I get what you mean. Yeah.
But anyways, so where was I going? Fuck.
Sorry.
Yeah, so the bass and playing, yeah. So, anyway,
oh, you're saying
sometimes you can play with like other modes or in different keys. Like I remember learning when I was learning bass, and like I would learn the different modes, and I was like just practicing scales. But then sometimes that would like, oh, I can. This could be a song part, you know, just from practicing a scale, and you learn this weird combination of notes that like you wouldn't normally find. But I can imagine that. Being with the alternate tunings too, it's like you could find something that sounds really cool. You're like, oh, this is a new part to a new song.
Yeah,
just because you're exploring that kind of those different things that you can do with a guitar.
Yeah, Corbin kind of introduced me to alternate tunings because mm-hmm. when we both started learning our instruments, we both started picking up each other's instruments.
Yeah.
So he had played cello and then he played drums and then. When I started playing guitar, I started wanting to kind of pick up drums, and so he started wanting to kind of pick up guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
especially if you had the instrument, you could borrow each other's stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I'd be like, hey, can we trade? Can I sit on the kick?
Like you need to, because that would suck if you had to buy your own drum kit. You just probably wouldn't learn.
Exactly. And so he, he showed me alternate tunings because he didn't know how to play in standard tuning, and I didn't know how to play in alternate tunings because he could play beautifully in alternate. Mm-hmm. And so now he's kind of learned standard and I've kind of learned alternate.
Cool.
So we're just constantly doing this. I know this thing. Hey, I know this thing. Oh, wait, we both know this thing. Yeah. It's always just like crossing our knowledge and it's really great.
It's interesting because like, I mean, if you didn't know each other, it's like you probably wouldn't be half the musicians you are.
I've told him that before too.
Because if you had to do it all on your own, you would only learn certain things. And it's like, that's what I think about a lot especially with the show. It's like sometimes I like to show that it's like people are doing creative things or like anyone can do creative things just because, you know, we don't see it. You know, it's like you have to see, like you said, if you saw Corbin playing something in a way, it's like, oh shit, I didn't know that was possible. Let me try that. Like you wouldn't have ever seen it in that case, or maybe not, but that's a big part of learning is just like, or wanting to learn or growing in some way. It's like knowing that it's possible to grow and change in some way.
Yeah.
I like it. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm really sad that he's not here. Like,
because
it would have been a perfect duo to talk music to, but we can do this again.
I'd love to. He was really sad he couldn't do it. He called me. He was like, yeah, I don't know if I can make it. And he's like, yeah. And I felt bad. But I would love to do this with you again.
I mean, that's the thing is like my big plan, I've talked about this a little bit, like probably on this show. I don't know if I should be, but no, I have a big plan like to eventually I want to do basically not necessarily a podcast, but I want to get bands. Do you remember Circle Lotus Media?
What was it?
Circle Lotus Media, CLM.
Mm-mm.
They're like I think it's like one person, and like he would do have bands come to, I don't know if it was his house or somewhere, and they would do live performance, and he would record it and then do video and then put it up on YouTube, and like they would have like little showcases of local bands. So it's like he did that for a little while, maybe it's probably been about 4 or 5 years ago.
And he was in Oklahoma.
Yeah, local. Wow. I never met him. Like I said, I think he's still around. I don't think he's doing that, but I don't know. Anyways, but I want to take that idea. I want to do the same thing, but I want to add the interview section.
Yeah.
You know, like have a band play. I mean, ideally you could do it in the living room. And then I would set up mics to record live and have good audio, ideally. And then have, then after they play, have the band come sit on the couch and do a little Jay Leno interview.
Love it. You know, no, that's great. No, I love it.
Like, it would be a lot of work. That's like kind of why I haven't done it yet, just because, like,
yeah, your desk is over
here. I don't necessarily have the space. It's like, I wish I had more space. If I had like a big room, you know, where I could set to use, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. I'll get there one day. I think that, you know, but I think,
well,
that,
I think you got really, that's something really awesome.
Yeah.
Here.
That's something that, like I said, every musician and these bands that I talk to, it's like watch out, I'll hit you back up, and we'll you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. But anyways, that'll come someday. So let's jump into, you grew up in Oklahoma City, and I already jumped to that. How'd you meet Dante? You told me that already. You guys played together in your group. And then...
Yeah, we met on Facebook. Yeah. We found each other on a Facebook group, and then, he just came over.
That's how I met him, too, actually. Just because, that's an interesting thing. Do you, interact? What's your... Let me jump to this. What's your opinion, overall, the music scene in Oklahoma City? What's been your experience, playing here, and do you have anything to say about that?
The interesting thing, whenever people think about the Oklahoma music scene outside of Oklahoma, I think they automatically think country music.
Right.
Country music. Mm-hmm. What I automatically think of is metal and hardcore.
Really, yeah.
I think that those genres are really popular
hardcore
all over,
for sure. Yeah,
all over smaller venues across. And I think that's kind of the defining genre to an extent. Mm. But I think that it is so diverse here. And I was so surprised when I started getting in how easy it was to find people to talk to and to get places to play. And also how nice people were and how many different genres there were. So Tulsa has Noise Town. It's a multi-genre kind of venue where they've told me once they came in, they wanted us to do an ambient show, and I came in with a guitar and I did that. I was like, man, I'm sorry. I was like, they're like, we don't care. They're like, we just want to hear music. We're like, I genuinely don't care what you do.
Like, this isn't noise. I mean, your guys' stuff doesn't seem like it would fit in a place called Noise Town.
Yeah. And so we've played in noise shows where people are genuinely just making noises and it might be loud and abrasive or soft and pretty. And we're playing cello and classical, and we're so people are so receptive to it. They're so understanding and really care about it. And so and it's funny because right after that we might have somebody blaring saxophone for 45 minutes, and I love that stuff. And I don't know. It's so they've asked us to do a really cool show coming up. I don't know if they want to talk about it but as it might be, it's just a secret. I'm kidding. No, but they've got some really amazing stuff planned for local music. Okay. And Tulsa's got a really cool scene, but in the city, I mean, I don't know. When you think of Oklahoma, I think a lot of people outside think of a conservative country, and I was surprised to see how liberal people are, and how, I don't know. It's really great to see so much representation.
Definitely is. I mean, you're right about that. The variety. I think that,
and Norman too. Yeah,
there is a lot of blues rock, I feel like, and that kind of folk rock and country and stuff like that. And my thing is I feel like that's what most. What do you think about the audience, or you know what I mean? The people, what do you think? Because I've just struggled. I've lived here and played music here my whole life, always really struggled with it. I mean, it's never been great, I don't think.
Yeah, especially with the audience.
Or just, pretty much. I mean, specifically Oklahoma City, and I talk about this a lot. I mean, Norman's pretty good. I mean, Norman's way better than Oklahoma City. It's just smaller, so obviously it's not. But there's more opportunities, I feel like, in Norman than currently in Oklahoma City. And then Tulsa is amazing, hands down, for sure.
With Oklahoma City, there's so many great people that live in the city. With audiences outside, so Noisetown is really great. It's a really small venue, and they their audience is full of people that go there and listen for something different.
Right.
And so the audience is always so great there.
I feel like that's what's missing from Oklahoma City. It's people here, I feel like they're fine listening to the radio or going to downtown. And, you know, if you go downtown and you watch a live band, it's going to be country, blues, or, you know,
a cover band. Those are the bands coming here, too. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of rap that's coming here, too, and the rap scene here is growing, too, which is awesome.
Yeah.
With audiences, we've really struggled to find people to resonate with.
I think that's been biggest problem for most musicians, I think.
So Northeast, in that New York, Vermont, Connecticut, Massachusetts, is looking really nice because they genuinely, I mean, they are looking for, I mean, they love hardcore too.
Right.
They are looking for the kind of music that me and Cord make. Yeah. They like orchestral ambient sounds mixed with more folk and indie. And like, I'm like, that's just like exactly what we do. So
I can see that for sure. Like a lot of bands, there are a lot of bands that come out of like the East Coast that are more of that style or that kind of softer indie kind of thing. I don't know about it, which I like. Yeah. I listen to all kinds of music. I mean, there's not really a genre that I don't like. I don't necessarily vibe with country as much, but I do like folk a lot and like, you know, and a lot of those vibes that, but yeah, country and a little bit like there's some rap that I could care, you know, not care for as much, but, overall I love hip hop and R&B, you know what I mean? So it's like a certain, there's, I'm all over the place.
I love seeing, I mean, just the whole, the whole Kendrick Lamar and Drake thing.
Yeah.
Is just, oh my gosh.
It's been wild.
Yeah. And so it was, I love to see Kendrick really get that because he was always, everyone knew his name. Everyone knew the songs, but like now he's like, people know him and people respect him now. And I love that. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, for sure. I know it's like, I definitely don't listen to as much, or it's like even just any popular new music. That's when my biggest, hole in music is like I can tell you all kinds of stuff from the 70s and 80s and whatever, but it's like current stuff, it's like I'm definitely behind on.
No, I get it.
What other like local bands have you like played with, or do you know, like, or you want to shout out? I don't know. I'm just curious because it feels like it's been lacking lately. I don't feel like I know a ton of bands lately just because a lot of people have quit and whatever, but what about you?
There's a band called Unit 14. I have a good friend in there called named Caleb Livingston, and he is such a nice guy. He's so tall. I tell him this every time I see him. I'm short, but he's like 14. Like 6'7" or something.
Yeah, that's big.
And so anytime, so we met him through an app called Vamper. And
I've heard of that app.
Yeah, actually. It worked. It's like Tinder for musicians.
Well, like I heard about it a long time ago, like probably when it was barely starting. So it's like I forgot about it, actually. Yeah. I wonder, so is it kind of popular, especially like...
I don't know how popular it is, but it's
good. People using it?
Yeah, people are using it. And so it's easy to contact people through that. And so Caleb Livingston I met through that. He's a killer bassist, super duper nice guy. And his band, Unit 14, does more kind of hardcore stuff. They call those, I don't know the genre name, but it's like stoner gaze something. Mm-hmm. They're just all about the just hitting you hard. And I love it. They're coming out with some new stuff, and I'm really excited. I haven't been able to hear it yet, but I'm excited. And
I'm going to look them up because like, I'm not necessarily super into hardcore. I mean, I do, but I have been like appreciating hardcore a lot more lately. Like, there's this guy, A.B. Hill. He does stand-up comedy, but he's actually a guitar player. His band is called Jawline.
I've heard of that, yeah.
They're really good, but they're, like, they love Fugazi a lot. So it's very Fugazi influence, which I love Fugazi.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, so, like, that band in particular, like, really made me appreciate hardcore in a different way.
Yeah.
So it's, like, I kind of, like, I've been getting into a little bit more the local stuff anyways. Like, just going, seeing some local, like, Limp Wizards also. They're very good.
Yeah, they're really cool. I've been seeing them come up way more lately.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But Pineapple Willows is really great as well. And we definitely have band friends in the area, but I would say that those two are probably the biggest ones that we talk to regularly. I'm trying to think, am I discounting someone on accident? No, I mean, I think that's really it.
Yeah. Lately, that's cool. Yeah. I'm curious about that band. Like I said, I'm glad you brought it up because
they're good
I'm always
guys.
Like looking around because a lot of times, yeah, I'm definitely more disconnected from the local scene because I'm getting older. I'm like 38, so it's like I've been doing this for a while, and like I've known a lot of bands. I've always been like keeping my thumb on the pulse of the music scene and stuff. It's like it's harder now, especially with younger people coming up. It's like these bands are popping up everywhere.
Yeah,
it's like I don't necessarily know those people, so
yeah,
definitely always trying to see who's playing and what's going on. I was thinking about this a little bit earlier because I went to my first time to Weirder Wednesday last week.
Yeah,
I think. Which I'd wanted to go for a long time.
Yeah. And that had Meteorology was playing.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
He was amazing. Yeah.
He's been one of those guys. Because you said he's one of those guys that I have been wanting to meet, Brett Fieldkamp.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to meet him so bad. And we keep talking like, well, we're going to meet each other. We're going to see each other.
Yeah.
So
you guys chat online.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I really respect what
he
does.
He's amazing.
On the scene. And oh my gosh, so cool. And I love his music too. He's so into it.
Yeah.
And,
no, he was
I
really,
want to meet him. Yeah.
He was really good live too. Because I'd known him for maybe a year or so. Like just we bump into each other a lot. And, but I'd never seen him play until last week. It was amazing. Like he was very, a very good guitar player, good singer, because he did, like, he sings and plays guitar, and he, like, loops drums, and it's, like, does the whole thing, like, live, one-man band type thing.
Yeah. I didn't know he did drums.
Yeah.
Well, I need to check that out.
Well, like, he does some loops or whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
But when I've seen him play, it's usually been kind of an ambient singing over, and...
Yeah, I think he's getting more into, like, this more structure of
that's
music.
Cool. Yeah.
Because that's what I think he's been focusing on. I think he put out some music late, like, maybe last month even.
Oh, okay.
That's, like, more of that kind of less of the... ambient type of experimental stuff,
shoegazy kind of. Yeah. And Jarvix is how I heard about Brett Fieldkamp.
Yeah.
And I mean we talked about Jarvix briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good guy, and he, I keep saying everybody's a good guy, but I like mentioning the guys that are good guys.
But that's the thing is like you want to be around these people that are good people. I feel like that's my thing, is like meeting people that are you can trust and aren't assholes and like try to stab you in the back. And that's like I think there are a lot of people in the music scene, like I said, Jarvix and Brett, they're like genuinely good people and like trying to do good in the world. And it's like, that's hopefully we can all just meet and team up and you know, make something out of this stuff. So,
and when I first met Jarvix, I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And
really?
So we were playing a gig with Pineapple Willows.
Okay.
So, and Bailey Boy.
Yeah. That was one of the shows I told you there was a couple of shows last year that I should have went to.
We were going to Sailor in the Dock.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the first time I actually played in the city. A lot of the times I'm playing in Norman or in Tulsa.
Right.
And there was a guy sitting at the back who looked like kind of like he was a part of the venue. So I just thought he was like coordinating some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so after the show, he comes up to me and he was saying, "Hey, I'm Jarvix. I run the Make Oklahoma Weirder page." And he was like, "I've listened to your." He said, "I listened to your album 4 times."
Wow, that's awesome. That's high praise.
I know. Yeah, I know. And he was like, "I really love what y'all are doing," and that just meant because I was coming from being in a situation where I didn't. It's not like I was like, I don't get no respect. It was more like I just felt like I was like either our music is bad or we are just one of those kind of underappreciated bands right now. And so my confidence was dwindling a little bit. And we sat and talked for like 2 hours. And he taught me so much about stuff going on. And that's how I heard about Brett Fieldkamp.
Yeah.
And he got me much more into the, I don't know. And so he was so helpful. And so that's how he got me into Weirder Wednesday and all that. He's just such a good guy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Because obviously I went to that show and then I saw that you had played there, and like I was thinking, it's like the acts these days, it's like it's very much more like it's I think it's becoming more like less like band focused and like big acts and like more smaller, like one or two people, and like making more experimental or like more just different like genre blending stuff like that. And it's like I see that going on now. And it's
and
like less, And there's more just like artists versus like bands, you know what I mean? It's like they're making like this
and I love
different
bands.
Things. Yeah,
I love.
Yeah.
it kind of sucks because me and Corbin both struggle to write in a band context, and my band can attest to that, and I can attest to that. It's like when I'm sitting down with a band, it's not that anybody's doing anything wrong, but I feel like I just get self-conscious. Yeah. And so when I'm alone, I can just sit and kind of focus and then present it to people and see what their ideas are. But that reminds me, a band that's doing some really cool stuff right now is called White Subaru Outback.
Okay.
We played with them. That was one of our last shows, and they blew us out of the park. So loud and fun.
What was the name again? White
Subaru Outback.
That's what I thought you said. But I was like, wait.
They
like a car.
there's a guy. The bassist for that band named Donald is a great guy, and he was talking to me about music for a while afterwards, and he contacted me, and I'm mastering one of their songs on what they're doing next, which is gonna be really cool. I don't know if they like the master yet. We'll have to see. But
did you sent it?
Yeah, I sent it. I gave it three versions, and so
cool.
We'll see. Yeah. I think they liked it.
Yeah.
But I told them if they need anything else, just let me know. But that's one of the things that I've been wanting to do. There's so much monetization when it comes to that stuff, and it's hard because people want to make careers doing this thing that they're good at. But you're in this weird situation where it's like, if you don't monetize it, then people are just going to expect it for free.
Right.
And people start taking advantage of you. If you monetize it, then you're not going to get any bites.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what you do.
That's what I've been running into. It's like, I'm a photographer. Like I said, we were talking about that. And it's like, well, I can, you know, ask for my, you know, what I should get paid to do an event, and then no one will hire me because they just can't afford it.
Right,
they don't have it in the budget. Or I could, like, lately I've been trying to cut some deals. It's like, just pay me, you know. It's like, I'll do it for just, you know, half, or like, you know, a small, just something, you know what I mean? Like, and I'll just to be able to do what I want to do. It's similar with music too, because I've been talking with Dante about some stuff I don't want to talk about necessarily on air, but like we've got some ideas with that and along those lines. I think that what you're saying. Well, what were you saying? If you wanted to continue, like the monetization stuff.
He's been contacting me about some. Basically, I made a post, kind of just being like if you need any, if you want to do any recording, if you want to do any mixing and mastering. Me and Corbin just want to learn.
Just
want to learn. Just
want to have opportunities to do it in some way,
And so we didn't get any bites.
Right.
And I was surprised. I was like, if I was a band and I saw that post, but to be 100% fair, I posted it on our smallest page that nobody knows about. And so I should have made it more out there.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you still can. Like I said, I think that is it.
Because I want to learn. I just want to learn.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's something that I run to. I mean, just with social media, you can get into that real quick. It's just like trying to find that, get this information to people, like promote shows even. It's just so hard to, like, you know, where do you post? Like you're saying, like, what's, like, should you focus on, like, Facebook, Instagram, you know, whatever else?
Yeah.
So.
And so I just, the other day I was sitting on my computer, I was like, I'm going to do it. So I went on all the social media platforms I can think of, and I've been needing to make an EPK. I don't know if this is a good one, but I use Sonic Bids.
Oh yeah.
They have an EPK thing, and I was like, I just need an EPK, and they have it for free. So I was like, I'll just use that. So let's hope that seems okay. And it's so expensive.
That's EPK. You can make it yourself. I mean, what an EPK is, it's like if you are curious or wanted to. I mean, from what I understand, anyways, it's like you don't need much a lot of the times. You just need. What I do is make a Google Drive link, and I'll just have a Google Drive folder and just put a bunch of stuff in there, you know, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Because you can make a PDF for, like, a bio and contact information, and so someone can just open that up, get that information if they need it. You can just put some photos, put some tracks, a video. You can put anything in there, really.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the easiest, most basic way, right, just to have. And free, honestly.
Yeah.
But obviously, that it depends. Because certain things, you need different kinds of EPK for, you know what I mean? Depending on what you're trying to do.
So I thought, I mean, if I just, because I had read some stuff about certain thing, I don't know. So I was trying to basically just have a website, they could click the link, and then that's it.
And so
Sonic Bids was doing that, and I've been trying that, so we'll see. But it's hard with social media, because... I mean, obviously, it's just so frustrating because in my eyes, anytime I work on it, I'm like, I feel like I'm stripping the art out of it,
mm-hmm.
out of everything I do. Yeah. I'm just taking myself and be like, I'm actually a product. Mm-hmm. I'm not an artist. And it's like, it's so yeah. infuriating. And so like, and then you'll meet somebody and you're like, oh, this will be cool. You go, I have a very specific thing. I won't get into it specifically, but I went out and had a really great conversation with somebody. Mm-hmm. And like we had this like, great transactional conversation. Not transactional, sorry. We had a great conversation.
Like back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And so, I don't know why I said transactional, yeah. but yeah. And the great back and yeah. forth. We understood each other. Mm-hmm. We were working on similar projects. And then he was like, I'll totally go to your shows.
Yeah.
He's like, I want to go to your shows. I was like, oh, great. You know, audience, more engrossed in the community. I went to two or three of his shows. Mm-hmm. I think I went to three of his shows.
Yeah.
And then he didn't make it to a single one of mine.
Yeah.
And then when we put out our ambient album, he messaged Corbin trying to get him to play with his band.
Huh.
I was like, What just happened? Yeah. It was the weirdest thing. And so, yeah, I was like, you can't trust anybody.
Yeah. Okay. I think it is. I mean, it's a little bit of that because it is like, no matter whatever the reason, it is a weird, you know, thing where it's like you thought you had an expectation of someone and they weren't that person. And that's kind of a betrayal of trust. I mean, pretty much.
And
but I do think going into that too, it's like musicians are just weird, man. Or artists, most artists can be very weird. A lot of us have a lot of anxiety, social anxiety, in particular for me, for sure. That's my biggest struggle with anything of this kind. But I think you're on the right path because one thing that I try to stick with, and I think it works or it has been working, it's not the fastest way to grow an audience of whatever it is that you're doing, but it's like just keep meeting people, you know what I mean? Like meet as many people as you can, get them, you know, let them know what you're doing and connect with them online so when you post, it's like if they're interested in that, then they're gonna know about it, you know. It's like you can share that with them, but that's my thing, is just meet people and meet them in real life ideally too.
Yeah,
so I think that's the strongest connections we can make is whenever it's in face-to-face and, you know, in public or whatever. And that's been my big... It's like, I know these things, but that doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, do this. Yeah. Okay, you go try to do it. You're like, still, I don't want to do that.
But it's, you know, slowly but surely, like I said, I think in the people that you have in meeting, obviously Jarvix and, like, Brett, like, those are people that we need to be, you know, those are the people you need to make connections with if you want
to... such good guys.
...to grow in this, in this world of entertainment, because... It's not easy, and I think it's definitely not here. Like we were talking about with just the audience attendance and the people that, like you were saying, I think it's not your music. It doesn't have anything to meet with your music, but you have to find the audience that likes, that wants that music. You
and
know?
You've always had to try to find an audience, mm-hmm. but initially, I mean, I wasn't born in the 90s, but like in the 90s, yeah. I mean, you would go to concerts. That's mm-hmm. how you found artists, and that's how you get out there. And,
right.
And you'd find posters or yeah, you'd buy a CD. But like now it's like, that post?
Mm-hmm.
Is this post the aesthetic that's like my style? Oh, I like the music, but their album cover isn't quite my style. And I've experienced this myself. Mm-hmm. I've been like, wow, I like this song. I don't know if I like the style of it. I move like, on. And then I'm like, I'm one of those people.
Yeah,
I'm a bad person.
I think that is. But a part of it too is the oversaturation. With everything, I mean, everything.
Because everybody's a musician. And I'm saying this as somebody mm-hmm. who's never formally trained, but like everybody can pick up a guitar and play. And I love that. Mm-hmm. But then everybody advertises on the same platform.
Right.
And it just, it's not that I don't love that. It just makes it harder.
Yeah.
So it's like somebody.
So you have to fight through the.
Yes.
All the bullshit.
So all I've worked on an album for 3 years and there's somebody mm-hmm. just picking up guitar who's like, has more followers than me.
Right.
I take personal offense to that. And then I'm like, but it doesn't matter. They might be more charismatic than me. They might be a better guitar player than me.
They could have paid for those followers and they're not real.
They could be cheats and frauds.
Exactly. I mean, that's a legit thing that, you know, you can buy bots to bump your numbers up.
I should do that. I'm going to do that, guys. I don't actually have listeners.
I know, right? No, but I mean, I don't know. It sucks because, like, I think what it too, because I always think about, I try to think about this and tell people, but I think that you have to, like, have a clear definition of success and what you want out of this thing. And I think that sometimes you might have to readjust that. It could, because I think that it's a lot of us too, as we get into music younger too, it's like, what do you think is going to be the end goal. It's like you want to be what? It's like the Red Hot Chili Peppers or something. You know, it's like that. Possible, it's possible. Yeah. Obviously, it happened, but there's only one Red Hot Chili Peppers, and it's like it's so that's like a minuscule, like a drop, like a sand in the amount of like one grain of sand in the amount of musicians that are trying to do what they did. You know,
exactly.
It's so impossible to actually achieve what you know that actual. That's like the biggest band in the world. You know what I mean? Like I always use them as that example, is because literally. I mean, besides like the Rolling Stones or the Beatles or whatever,
but they're still together.
But yeah, right? But they're still like that's like a mega successful.
I guess
band.
Rolling Stones is still together. Yeah. Are they still together? But they're but
think,
you know what
are
I mean?
They
yeah.
still alive? I think. Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, like so, I think that is for me. I've had to kind of redefine. It's like I don't ever. Cause I briefly probably had those thoughts. It's like, oh, you know, you can go. My biggest thing is like I just want to like tour the know, with a band and just. And not have to worry about money, you know what I mean? But I don't want to be rich or famous. It's like that would be. I just
want to be able to play music for
I just
want to
make my art and not, you know, have to do anything else.
Like, oh, yeah.
for money, you know,
for sure.
So, just to pay the bills. That's, you know, but so that's kind of my humble. But of course, it's like if I wanted to, I think it's important to have those dreams because if you don't, you're definitely never going to get there. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, because if you shoot a little bit shorter than that, it's less likely you'll even get there. So to me, it's like I want to be a recording, performing artist, touring, and in studios, and that's what I want to do. That's what I love
Similar,
to do.
Like just make money, make a living with music. I think that's
and it's hard with social media difficult. As well because the and it's always the same thing. I mean, everyone's always talking about social media. I hate social media, or I love social media. And with me, it's. It's hard because it got really personal. The album, A Lifetime Pieces, that we worked on, it is about somebody who was really close to me that passed. Mm-hmm. And that's all it's about. It's the whole thing. The and that's why it's more conceptual because it's kind of telling my story. Mm-hmm. And it's slower and it's sadder. And then I'm like, and then I have to advertise this. So I have to be like, guys, listen to my like, album.
Check and it's it like, out. Like, my friend died. Listen to
it.
You know
it
what
feels
mean?
Like it's I'm monetizing somebody's death. Mm-hmm. And if we start looking at it like that, you start going down a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, somebody said to me, "Is like, I mean, it's about that, but it's still your art, and you're allowed to do with it what you'd like, as long as you're not disrespectful." And and that was really kind of what helped me kind of go past that. Yeah. And that's this, you know, this next project we're working on, I really want it to be more personal about me, less personal about other people.
Right?
And,
yeah, it's like you're
And so that made it really hard. You know, I just didn't advertise it. I felt weird. You know.
Yeah, I think that's I get that for sure because it is like. I don't know. I don't think about that enough as far as like the, cause it's like, I'm a bass player. It's like, none of the songs that I put out are really my songs. You know what I mean? It's like somebody, it's like Josh, those are Josh's feelings or Dante's feelings, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I should think about that more just generally because it's like, I think about social media and like marketing and promotions a lot, you know what I mean? But,
and I'm
but it
terrible
is that,
at it. I'm so
but it
bad.
Is, you know, and I don't know that I'm necessarily good, but it's like I said, I'm constantly trying things and trying to push it and see. My thing is like just trying to figure out that magic, you know, trick that actually makes something. I just want to not blow up, but it's like you just want to have followers on whatever it is so that you can push stuff out and people will see it. I mean, that's kind of
you can start sustaining yourself. Yeah, it's just it's more consistent.
So it's like you want like a certain number, right? But it's like, I mean, even that, it's like even with this podcast, it's like we're at like maybe 380 followers on Instagram.
That's not bad.
I mean, it's pretty good, but it's like that's still not very many. You know what I mean? Like it's still just kind of a drop in the bucket when it comes to like just the population of Oklahoma City. Even it's like. It's like, wow, how do you grow that without, I mean, one way is to just spend money on advertising on social media or Facebook or Instagram ads, which I haven't done yet for this, but it is something for music that you could do where it's like, you just, if you have the money, that's when marketing really comes down to it. Just, you know, spend, if you have some money to drop, to budget for that, you know, make, you know, just the Facebook ads, just like, just the album cover and the name and the link and just push that out. You know what I mean? Like,
and Facebook isn't a bad place to do that. You know, there are a lot of, obviously a lot of people on there, but also a lot of musicians on there looking for.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing is
I just don't have money.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. Right. So, and I'm just always trying to find out ways. My whole life, you know, just personally, it's like I'm always trying to figure out how not to spend money on stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I learned how to do
I'm
all
a
this
great value
junk.
Guy.
Yeah, that's why I learned how to record music myself.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I wouldn't have to pay someone else. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. Because I'm like looking at studios. I'm like, oh man, I want to record an album. And it's like $500 an hour. It's like,
yeah.
How much is it for audio interface?
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, but you know, but it is more than that because it's like I do love it, and it's like I love recording audio specifically. I mean, even going to the podcast and stuff like that, it's like something about audio and video to me is very magical when you can put those together.
And but I don't feel as much like a musician. Like, mm-hmm. and when I tell people that, they think I'm like trying to like get like people to be like, oh no, you are a musician. And it's like, I'm not saying I'm not, I'm just like, I don't, I feel more like a music producer.
Right.
I feel more like I, cause
like that's your,
me
your...
and him love albums. Like mm-hmm. albums are the biggest deal in the world to us. So when we're making music, we're not necessarily thinking like,
yeah,
oh
like
my gosh, this is a cool song.
You don't
we
have
sound
like
so
that
cool.
single mindset.
Yeah.
That's always like a debate that I always talk about. I always bring up with people because it is, and I think there's value to both. I love albums too. It's like, of course I grew up listening to,
but albums are dying.
Yeah, no, it's not a popular thing right now, but I think it goes, it's been in this shit for since the 60s or before, you know what I mean? Because
that
was like the Beatles, not the Beatles, but no, the Beach Boys. The Beach Boys, it was Zeppelin. No, Zeppelin was after. So the Beach Boys, like, they figured out, like, oh, you can make a lot of money if you just pump out a single every month.
Wow.
And so that's how that's most of their beginnings. Obviously, they do have some full-length albums.
But everything's so saturated now.
Yeah.
I mean, you just put, it feels like you're actually making your work worse the more singles you put out.
Well,
you know?
Like I said, that's the whole thing, right? I mean, if you do them quicker, then they can't be as good, right? I mean, yeah, maybe they could, but whatever, right? So it's like, but I think that currently that, so anyways, the Beach Boys did that for a long time, and a lot of artists did in the 60s, and then the 70s come around, and then Zeppelin.
Pink Floyd.
Zeppelin comes, Pink Floyd. And they're like, okay, then they started making these masterpiece albums, which, like I said, you know, you were saying that you love that. I love that, too, like all those Zeppelin albums. You can just listen to start to front, and it's just an experience.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And that Pink Floyd and Radiohead were huge inspirations for us kind of putting together this conceptually, because just how it all flows.
Right.
It's important to me, like, how do you put an extremely long ambient song and then a more rock song right after? How do you make that work without it being weird or just goes against the theme I'm going for?
There's even one of, I think it was that, what was it, that song, the Everyday Cancer song.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it's like I got like a Queen vibe. Not anything
to do.
No,
I can hear what you say. Yeah,
not anything to do with the style, but something about it. It just had that kind of, just like Bohemian Rhapsody for whatever reason.
Just changing.
It's just like the epicness of it. It's theatrical almost.
Yeah.
I did have that thought.
Well, that's cool. That's a cool comparison. I appreciate that.
just strangely, but, let's see. There was another artist I wanted to ask you about. It's a local, there's a local DJ named, Ex Machina. Have you ever heard of him? He's just a guy he makes, but he's a music producer really. And a DJ, but like he does ambient stuff, but it's like he kind of came up with his own genre blend, right? And he calls it lo-fi, dark lo-fi glitch music.
Okay.
So it's very just abstract and very like glitchy and just weird sounds, but it's amazing. I think you should check it out.
Ex Machina?
Yeah, it's spelled like Exmaxhina.
Sounds cool.
So it's like follow him and check out his stuff. Just because it's all ambient. There's no vocals. There's not even real instruments. It's just like he does samples and like mixes them and plays with them. And
I'll check that out.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of your stuff. Obviously, yours is more orchestral based in that traditional style, but it's just weird, glitchy electronic music, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's similar. That vibe is just chill and just you can just zone out.
Yeah.
Because he's an artist, also a visual artist. Like another thing I wanted to bring up to you, too, is there's this art gallery that's close to here. Do you live around here?
I live about 15 minutes from here.
Yeah. It's like on 28th and Penn. It's called Mycelium Gallery. Like good friends of mine own that. And it's an art gallery, but they do, it's very abstract art, very kind of just out there. I mean, it's like the mycelium is like a mushroom thing. So it's like that kind of psychedelic almost.
Yeah.
But they do some music, and I think you guys could fit in to... I need to tell them about you, because I think it would be a good fit to do small gig.
We would love that. If they'd be okay with it, we would love
because
that.
Because it's like they don't want to do, like, because I've been trying to get there, or whenever they started the gallery, I was like, it's like, you guys are going to let me play here, right? know? But it's like, they don't necessarily want to do like rock music or like anything big and loud. And they want like more chill. And it's like, you guys would be a perfect fit for that. I mean,
we would love to do
that. They're just now kind of experimenting with bands. And I mean, they do all kinds of different shows and weird things just randomly. But like I said, and Armand is the DJ Ex Machina. He's a big part of the gallery. He plays there a lot. And his music is very a part of their vibe just because of the whole theme of it. It's very, like, immersive art. You know, Factory Obscura?
Oh, yeah.
It's similar to that in a way just because it's, like, but theirs is more, like, nature-focused. It's all, like, nature-y and very...
Factory Obscura is... Obscura.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah, I love them, too. That's because... Have you played there or anything?
No, like, I've been to Jarvix was talking to me about that because he does that open mic night.
It's going to be Thursday. I don't know if you I'm going to go. Yeah, this Thursday.
Is this Thursday?
Yeah. If you want to sign up and do something, you have to do it by Wednesday at noon, I think.
But I might do that. Yeah. What time is it normally? Do
it starts at 7.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like goes from like 7 to 9, I think, because sometimes there's quite a few artists, obviously. So if you sign up in advance, you'll know if you... I'm sure that you
might
get
do
on.
That. Because I've been meaning to do that, and I keep forgetting about it.
Yeah,
I think
it's
such a cool... Yeah,
it's amazing.
And that's hosted by Jarvix, too.
Yeah, Jarvix will be there. Like, and he, if you sign up, and he'll know it's you, and you'll get on. you know what I mean? Like, because they do kind of curate it a little bit. They don't, like... they'll check you out and stuff like
that. Yeah, it's an open mic. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, technically, because a lot of open mics, you know, you just sign up and just go up. But, like, this one, there is an advanced sign-up. But, yeah, you should check it out. I mean, like I said, I'll be there Thursday because Josh, I think, is going to play there, too, that night. So it'll be fun. Yeah, if you want to check that out.
I think it's
a great way to meet them and, like, get into what some of the stuff they're doing because that's one of the coolest places, or as far as, like, venues, right? Like, we're talking about, like, they're doing some... They'll bring in out-of-town acts, but they're all, like, it's very, like... you know, abstract out there bands. It's not like, you know, like
non-traditional.
Like, you guys could open for a bigger act coming through or something like that if you got in with them. So
yeah,
that'd be really cool to see. But yeah, the other one, Mycelium Gallery, they're doing, because there's another artist named Bugbear.
Yeah. Oh, I played with him. Yeah.
Because he was also at the last show. I'd never seen him before that.
Yeah. He played with us at Weirder Wednesday,
I
too.
Saw that.
He was at, he was at the most recent one.
Yeah. So, anyways, he's great, but he's going to do his set at Mycelium soon.
I would love to see it. He'd be perfect for that.
Yeah,
just, I couldn't think of a more perfect local band for that.
That
artist.
That show, I'll just tell everyone about it.
Yeah.
Right now. It's going to be March 1st. It's a Saturday. March 1st, Saturday, they are having Dark Mode with special guest Bugbear at Mycelium Gallery, 2816 North Pennsylvania. Dark Mode is an experimental art experiment when the lights are low and the art is illuminated with color-changing LED lights and UV lighting.
That's
cool. I just wanted to read this. This month's musical guest is Bugbear, who will be performing Ornamental Hermit and other delights. Costumes and dark dress encouraged, but not required. Tickets are can be purchased in advance or at the door. I don't know how much it is. Probably like $5.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's reasonable. It's probably not nothing crazy, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and they have, like... So Mycelium Gallery is an art collective with over 30 local artists. There's a dry bar with mocktails, non-alcoholic beer, and they have Stone Cloud, Fuzzy Rabbits, Leap Coffee and Tea. So it's like a sober... They don't have any alcohol there, but it's cool because that's their whole thing.
And I don't really drink.
Yeah, I quit. It's been 2 years almost since I drank.
And you just quit just because?
I mean, a lot of reasons. There are some reasons, but I mean, I didn't really have a huge problem with it, but it was a problem. It could be a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, and it definitely wasn't helping me. I don't think alcohol has ever done anything for me necessarily, you know?
Yeah.
It's all
good for you.
Yeah,
I'm glad you
thanks.
Could.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been something like, I don't know. I've been the past maybe a couple years for sure have been a big, pandemic really messed me up, I think.
Yeah. No, I get
so
it.
It's a lot of kind of reinvention, I guess, or re kind of
It's a new you.
Getting rid of old habits, I guess. Yeah. A lot of them, but anyways, are trying to. Always trying to.
Seems like you're doing a good job.
Thanks. So, let's see. We can probably kind of wrap up a little bit. I don't want to keep it too late. I mean, we've got almost an hour and a half. Let's see. What was the other thing? So, yeah, that was the last thing I wanted to talk to you about. What do you think has been, like, the biggest challenge that you've had to overcome or face in doing music or doing anything, or, you know, to get where you are? Is there anything that comes to mind? I mean, we're talking a lot about social media. That's always one when I ask.
That's
this.
The biggest hurdle when I'm trying to, like, yeah. But I just when I'm trying to get out there more, yeah. And I don't know, I just feel like I'm always having the same conversations with people. Everyone, yeah. Like, this has nothing to do with what you just said. People are constantly telling me that they want to quit doing something and they want to change, they want to change, right. They want to change. And then, like, they don't change. And then a week later, they're just saying the same thing to me. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm like, we're all just so, like, weird.
Stuck in this.
Yeah. And then same with, like, music. It's like, I don't know. I'll be like, man, I'm going to try to get out there. I'm going to really post on social media. And I want to get out there. And then I post for a little bit, don't get much attention, and then stop posting for 3 months. Yeah. And then I'm like, I want to do this. And it's like, anyway, so social media has been a hard one. But really, I mean, the hardest thing has probably been going through that person that passed. Because before that, we were making more kind of pop and this and this and this. And there was darker themes. But then, I mean, it was a little surface level. And then when they passed away, it's like stuff just got too real. And and I knew that the healthy thing to do for me was to be to express it. And so on the album, there are a lot of times when I say things that people have kind of raised an eyebrow at. And I felt personally I was raising an eyebrow at, because I was like, should I say this? But it was how I felt. And I just wanted to be truthful with myself and with them and with everything. And so that kind of reshaped everything for me. And my music went from being this super electronic pop, this to like acoustic, ambient, orchestral. Yeah, much more mellow and much more care given to the songwriting and the structure of the album and this and this and this. And it's just, it matters more to me now than it ever did. But finding inspiration, because I can be extremely self-conscious when I'm making music. And so I feel like I've had really great ideas, but I don't know if I can do those ideas again, which I'm sure everyone's felt before to an extent. And so I will go for months without making music and just feeling really sorry for myself and like, oh, you know, and those are just the kind of things you just need to start getting over. And alcohol doesn't help anything in that way. Because I just turned 21 back in August. And so I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to try a bunch of stuff. And like, I didn't go crazy or anything, but I tried some stuff and I realized, you're when like, I had stuff, I just wasn't thinking. I was not focusing on music. And when I tried to, I was a little bit like,
And so, I mean, that's because you definitely start focusing on like trying to be social and going out. And it's like you kind of lose your passion for what you're doing.
Yeah, and I wasn't
drunk or whatever.
And I wasn't drunk or tipsy. It was more of just like, I was like, it just genuinely mellowed me out. And my brain is always firing. Like, it's always like music and music and music. And so, like, you know, energy. I talk to people about where I want to be in music, what I want to do in music. And it's like, to me, it's like, I don't really care where I'm at. Is this where music needs to be? Okay, great. You know? And, and so anyways, so I'm just constantly on that.
Trying to find the motivation. That's what I
The motivation. It's hard. Like, I'm always thinking about it, but when I'm actually sitting down, I'm like, I don't know how to write a song. I've never read a song in my life.
I would say, like, you just got to keep following. Obviously, you've done a good job so far following those inclinations. That's why I named the show that. It's just like these things that that come up in our lives that it's like, oh, that I like this. It's like when you see something you like or it feels good to do and you try something, it's like, keep going towards that, you know, see where it takes you. Because like, and it might not necessarily be that thing, you know, it's like maybe you started playing guitar and then it leads you somewhere else and leads you to another instrument that you actually love way more than guitar.
Know, and that's like, how I got to
or bass. Producing, like you're saying. You
and
know.
me and Corbin are always asking the question, to people and ourselves, do we prefer... Dang, I don't know. Do you prefer performing or producing. Yeah. And both of us say producing. We love making or performing a recording is what we say. Mm-hmm. We love recording. Corbin particularly hates the setup and set down, the breakdown of music.
Setting up for live shows.
Because our stuff's a little more intricate. So what we're doing is like we play for five people.
Yeah.
We quietly break down, drive. And then we're like, man, that like kind of sucked.
Yeah. I definitely feel that. Because that was kind of like what led to me kind of going on this path of like quitting drinking was a part of it, right? And just kind of cleaning myself up, because I feel like I was just like putting in so much work. You put so much work into these bands and work on music. And for me, like particularly like live performance, right? Like we practice and rehearse our butts off every week and just try to get these songs to sound good. And then you go to the venue, get the show booked, and you show up, and like you said, four people are there. And you're like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah. Like, and in my head, I'm always
super
just like,
depressing.
This is good practice for me.
Yeah.
I can record it or something and post it somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, it kind of stinks.
You gotta look for that positive where you can. But still, I mean, that's kind of like, I don't know. But really, whenever that happens, it's like, that was like maybe 2022 when we were playing with Stolen Cable.
Yeah.
And it's like, we were just struggling to get people out. But I think that, I don't know. It's like, I feel like if that's not working, then just stop doing it. I think just like you said, focus on doing what you like more. It's recording and just do that. And then maybe play occasionally, maybe. But
and that's what we're going to kind of do for now is play occasionally. Mm-hmm. And if any place that asks to play, I automatically say yes.
Yeah, because you want to.
Yeah.
But still, but you got to be careful with that, too, because it does. I think that that could run you into that same problem again.
Yeah.
Because if you book somewhere that just isn't a, you know, a venue that a lot of people are going to go to, then. Do you really want to waste your time doing that? Is it really going to be worth, like you said, the whole setup and the stress of having to do it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough, obviously, because you don't want to say no, because you want to try. You don't know what's going to happen, if it's going to be a great show necessarily or not before it happens.
Yeah. I always tell Corbin an opportunity to play music is always a good opportunity, but it's only sometimes a good opportunity. It's just a good perspective.
Right.
And so I could be writing, though. I could be producing
exactly.
right then.
That's the thing. So, yeah. I mean... That is something that I think it's like, and I think that that's something that I made a choice for myself, was like, I stopped doing that, taking that approach of like just trying to book all the time and just like, okay, let's just take a step back. I think it's better. Especially nowadays, it's like, I'm starting to see, I think that it is better to try to build a following of some kind online, or just even with just music. If you focus on producing, like you guys already have a really great record out, like try to push that to as many people that can hear it, and then you're going to find that audience on the internet. And then whenever if you position yourself to have a really good show and have a big audience, you know what I mean? Like you can, I don't know. I think that's more of the way that
we're working on doing a last kind of nice, like planned a show.
Yeah.
Because everything that we do past like April is going to just be me and Corbin.
Right.
And that'll be kind of, I don't know. That'll be something that'll come out later. I don't really know how people are going to react to it, but, our band, like they're chill with it. They're awesome. Yeah. They just want to do some recordings and some performances, and I'm excited. I'm glad that they're excited about it, because I really enjoy playing with them, but there's some stuff that's just got to be done. And so, I lost my train of thought. Oh, so we're doing this last kind of performance as a big band.
Right.
And so we're gonna see how that goes. It'll be cool.
Yeah, we'll have to help you promote that. That's the thing, is like, just help. You should just, because that's why I'm like, Jarvix loves your stuff. That should help you get in front of more people, I feel like. Or it's like, he can help you with that, I feel like. Or
and
it's like,
just,
like, even with me, you know, with this show, it's like, I like, you know, shouting out shows and sharing stuff. It's like, I'm always trying to promote other people's stuff when I can. So it's like, I think meeting people like that, that can help you boost that, could be a huge thing, particularly for a show. And like you said, like I was saying too, paid advertising. I mean, if you can put a little bit, you could put like, $30, $40 away, and put, you know, push that show event push it out on Facebook, and it would help.
Because sometimes I think about, like, I'll go to a store and I'll get something, and I'll be like, I could be spending this on
save this, whatever, the junk food or something.
Yeah, ice cream,
So it's like,
ice cream's been the one I've had. I quit. This year, I've not had any ice cream.
That's not, sugar. I get it.
Ice cream. I love ice cream so much.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, anyways, I've been struggling with that, too, myself, trying to cut down, especially after the holidays.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, I should stop. Yeah. Oh, man, that my girlfriend made cookies?
Eat a whole bunch of them.
But
even just like putting a little bit away, just put, $5 a week, into a savings or something for that reason. I think it's important. I think that it's necessary almost. That's why I'm looking at, like, with Rhythm and Wit in general, or just in music, it's like you just got to start putting some money into those ads to get it in front of more people, and then I think it does get results. I mean, it's just the money thing and stuff. I've been, like I said, resisting it for a long time with this. It's just like, okay, we gotta get the follower count up, get the views up.
Yeah. And I love the name. I love y'all's logo.
Oh yeah, thanks.
Y'all are doing such a great job.
Yeah, you can have these stickers.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'd love it. I was thinking, are these?
We're getting ready to get some new ones because those are a little small. I like the circles, but it's like I think that if there was maybe more like
about that size,
like. Yeah, maybe like a 3-inch. I don't know, but
we're so a little smaller than a coaster.
Yeah, probably not this big, but yeah. Anyways, where can people find y'all? Do you have like your social media accounts?
We're
handles?
On Instagram and if you look up, it's such a long name.
Yeah,
it's such a long. Confine to a singular form. You can find us on any platform.
It's a unique name, at least. So it's like, it's not like there's others that you have to worry about.
Yeah.
You know,
except Tinder. We don't currently have a band. We're working on it.
What's it called? Vamp.
Is that what Vamper. Yes. VAMPR.
Find us on Vamper.
So, find us on Vamper.
We're on
we're looking for bands to have relations with.
And then you said, so is there anything, there's not anything coming up that you want to talk about necessarily? I mean, you said you're planning a big show, but you don't have any dates.
Yeah, no dates. Yet. And we've got a couple cool things coming up. Noisetown thing will come out. And then we have some small shows coming up, but I don't know.
Right.
I wasn't really looking to advertise necessarily, more just kind of talk to you. I was curious.
I always like to give the opportunity.
No, of course. Yeah. And that's an important thing as well. But I like in the car, I was like, what are we going to talk about? Our album, A Lifetime of Pieces, came out last year.
Yeah. Spotify, is it everywhere, I imagine? Yeah. Like all this platforms.
And so we used DistroKid. And that was, it was a grueling album to make, but it was really worth it. It felt really creatively fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm making music, I'm not necessarily happy when I'm doing it. Yeah. Like, I'm not like sitting there with a smile. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm more of like,
you're like
that was cool.
Out.
Yeah.
You're like trying to just scrutinize everything.
Yeah. I'm like, that sucked.
Yeah.
Or that was pretty okay. Yeah. And I'm less like.
So do you think that it's like, are you happier after it's out and it's like you feel like this relief?
Yeah, I really just feel a weight off my shoulder. Because for me, it's like when I'm making music, I'm not necessarily sitting there like, oh man, I'm so happy. I'm glad I get to. And it's such a, it's so terrible. I wish I felt more joy when making. It's more like I'm like, I just feel like this is what I need to do. I just feel like that's why I'm here. And so when I'm working on an album or songs or anything, I'm like, I feel like I need to share this with people. And so it's kind of more serious to me. And I don't know. And so anyways, so that's, I don't feel sad, but I kind of just feel more like a weight is lifted off me, and I can appreciate it from a distance now instead of like inside of it.
Right.
You know? And so,
I'm kind of like, I'm a little bit of the opposite. Like I love working on albums, particularly producing and mixing and recording it. It's like, that's my favorite part of it. And then it's like, once it's out, it's like, it is a relief. You're like, okay, it's done. But still, it's like, I almost like never want to listen to it again.
Oh, so you like go of it.
Because that's what I think about with music. And I've, particularly with mixing. I mean, like I said, I'm not necessarily a songwriter. So it probably would be the same way, I think. But it's like when you're mixing it, it's like you're in it, right? It's like, but it's like, and oftentimes I'm mixing something and if it's on headphones, right? And you're mixing it. And it's like you craft it and you're just in this little world that you created. And yeah. It's like, and it's your world, you know what I mean?
Because you don't have to hear anybody else.
Yeah, it's like it's like whenever no one else has ever even heard this before, and it's like you're the only one. It's like this is for you, right? And I'm sitting there like listening to a song 100 times, just making edits and changing things. And then, but then once it's out, you're right. It's like you release it. It's not yours anymore. It's for the world, you know. Yeah. It's theirs.
Their critiques are going to have to stay. You can do the revisions. You can do the remasters.
It's like there's no more changes that can be made. Yeah.
The date that we wanted to put out the album was set. We knew we wanted to put it out on March 25th because that was special to the circumstances.
Okay.
And so that's why, And so we were like, it has to be out on this date and this. And then Floral Arrangements came out on another significant date on it. Okay. So that's why they were like so close together, but so just awkwardly far apart.
Well, all right. Well, Jack, thanks for coming. It was really nice to meet you. It's been super fun going over everything and talking about music. And everyone, check out Confined to a Singular Form everywhere on streaming services. You can listen to the album. It is called A Lifetime in Pieces. 2024 and Floor Arrangements
2024.
So check both of those out if you're into some ambient stuff or just local indie folk rock.
whatever you call it.
It's really good, so definitely check it out and let us know what you think. And follow Confined to a Singular Form on social media and get those following.
Give me those numbers. That's all that matters to me.
You
is
just
the numbers.
Gotta get the audience. That's like the number one thing that we're always looking for. And it's like, man, we'll find it one day. That's my goal. Is like we're gonna. My goal
this
is.
This isn't
like,
gonna be hard to find an
to
audience.
Share. Yeah, it's like I just want to share the options for local entertainment. All right. Well, that's it for the show. Thanks everyone for watching, and we'll see you next week. Bye.